If you're visiting with us for the first time today, it's an honor to have you here. I hope you feel welcome. I hope you got plenty of coffee. And most of all, I hope you will open your heart and maybe experience God in a way that you've never experienced Him before, that maybe He'll introduce Himself to you and that your life will change for eternity today. Amen. I want to give a quick shout out. I try to do each week to our dream teams. For those of you who are visiting, our dream teams serve all over the property. Is what we don't use the word volunteer, because I think sometimes the word volunteer can be manipulated. But we say dream team because I believe that when we get you doing what God created you to do, you're not only fulfilling a dream in your life, but you're fulfilling the dream of God here for Screven County in Sylvania. And you're a part of something that's bigger than you. So we have teams all over the property doing all kinds of different stuff. And I just wanted to give a personal, special shout out to our coffee team this morning. I think it's probably right there, but it's probably manna that God fed the people of Israel. And then right below that is probably the coffee bean. And that they get us caffeinated every morning. And they come in early and make sure that it's out there for everybody. And we don't take it lightly. We do it so we hope it blesses you, gives you some time to drink a cup of coffee and fellowship. And so thank you to all that team. There's several on that team that makes that happen. Today, we're going to start a brand new series. And this series is one that I've been planning probably since October of last year. And it really could go on for months. Sadly to say this, because I think a lot of times we say things and we mean well, and they sound godly, and they sound like they're somewhere in some part of some Bible, but we heard it one time, or my grandmother used to say, or granddaddy used to say, or my dad or mom used to say, and they would give you a phrase. But the truth of the matter is that God never said that. And it becomes a problem because we begin to live our lives by a lot of these. We begin to follow God based on these things, and they become an issue. So we're going to talk about those for the next 3 weeks. And again, there's probably a lot of them, but I've picked out three. But a lot of well-meaning people say these things. You've probably said them. A lot of the brilliant minds that are on TV and news and that are on social media, that when we put, hey, I need some advice, or I need something on your social media status, and all these great prognosticators and deep thinkers come up with great wisdom, and they couch it in the terms of God said, or this is what the Bible says. And God never said that. Here's some for you, and I'm going to give them to you on the screen behind me. The first one that people say all the time, I hear it, cleanliness is next to godliness. Thank God that God didn't say that. If you're in my truck and you ride around with me, you realize that God didn't say that. Because if He is, I am not godly. I'm in trouble. I think that was invented somewhere by some grandma trying to get her kid, her grandkid, or mom trying to get a son or daughter to take a bath and get clean. It's not true. It's not in the Bible. And if you can find any of these in the Bible, I'll change the statement, but they're not in there. The next one is God helps those who help themselves. Sounds great, doesn't it? Yeah, it's from the first book and not in there. In the second or third chapter somewhere. It's not there. It's just not in the Bible. Another one, and before we say this, a lot of us have said this. I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but a lot of us say this. And we mean well. We're trying to provide comfort to somebody. Sadly enough, I've been at many funerals, but I wasn't doing the funeral, but I heard another pastor say, well, you know, God needed another angel in heaven or a flower in His garden. We're not doing that one in this series, but let me just a little snippet for you. God didn't say that. And He didn't say that because that devalues your loved one. Your loved one is better. The Bible says we're higher than angels. If God needed a flower in His garden in heaven, which I assume He has one, I don't know. Our God is the one that could just say flower. He doesn't need to turn our loved ones into flowers. Our loved ones are there because He wants to spend time with them just like we do. They're not angels. They're not flowers. And we mean well, but the truth of the matter is God didn't say that. And that's not how He intended for us to look at going to heaven. But today we're going to do one that comes out of the from the great philosopher and great theologian that we all study, Oprah Winfrey. And I heard her say this one time, and it's true, that God just wants you to be happy. God just wants you to be happy. Whatever you do, whatever path leads you, you can find it by the happy path. That's the way you go. If this will make me not happy and this will make me happy, I go that way. And the truth is, it's not in the Bible. It's just simply not there. A lot of us will give each other, you know, our wisdom, and they're struggling with making a decision, and we'll say, well, just God would want you to do whatever makes you happy. If that were the case, we'd all be in a world of hurt. We would be in some deep doo-doo. Because if we follow what makes us happy, we're going to be selfish. We're going to be concerned about me. We're not concerned about even eternity. It's a terrible way to live life. Now, let me say that I do believe God desires for us to be happy. The Bible does talk a lot about joy, about being blessed. Not only did God not say he just wants us happy, but it creates this dangerous approach to God. God becomes the slot machine or the vending machine of heaven. We just need something and I need to be happy. I go over to God, I put my spiritual coin in and say, God, I need this. And we put it in and we expect it to come out. And then when we don't get what we want, we go over and put another coin in. It's like being in the hospital and you go to get, you want a pack of Skittles. And you put it in and you press like B32 and some old nasty bag of hot fries falls out, right? I wanted Skittles, not hot fries. God's not a vending machine, and he's not here to make us happy. The matter of the fact, we're here to serve him and his people. And when his happy theology takes us away from that, it gets us in trouble. It creates a phony fairy tale image of life, a happily ever after type living. And I don't know if this is a real thing, but this is what I call it. It creates a false happy theology. That's false. I don't take it to the level of me saying that God wants you miserable. There is a whole line of Christianity that God wants you miserable and you got to suffer. There are people in Central American countries that will crawl on their knees for miles, bloody knees to church to pray because they think that somehow that makes God like them more. We're not going there. But this false theology, it creates some flawed thinking in us and it gets us in trouble. Because the first one I'll give you this is that if I feel happy, it must be okay. Whatever I'm doing, if I feel happy, if it makes me happy, then it must be God. It that must be where God wants me to go. Because I'm facing two decisions and this one's difficult and this one's going to be a lot of work and sweat and this one's going to be easy and I can breeze right through. If you just assume that it makes me happy, then we go that way. You can be very carnal. It can be very diminishing of the life that I think God has for all of us. Because there are things in life that just take work. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12 that there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Let me give you the same verse in the message paraphrase. The message is not a direct translation, it's a paraphrase. But I like the way this guy says it. He says that there's a way in life that looks harmless enough. He says, but take a second look again, because it just leads us straight to hell. You know there are a lot of people who are going to bust hell wide open, be eternally separated from God, and they live because they live their lives following the happy trail. Whatever makes me happy, whatever feeds my flesh. Because your flesh, your emotions, they'll lie to you. They will tell you things that you think you need, that you don't need, that are very bad for you. I don't care how spiritual you think you are, how long you've been saved. Maybe you've never been saved, you don't know God, but you find that piece of you that always wants to be fed. That's your flesh. And it demands attention if you don't deal with it. The next thing you do is you say, well, I don't feel happy, so that must mean I need to get out. This is the decision that any kind of discomfort, delays, obstacles, resistance, this can't be God's will. I remember starting I had finished my undergrad, and I moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma to get my master's in theology and go to seminary. And I drove out there, and I started. And after I walked into my first class, and the professor said, "Here's this list of books you have to have read by next week, and I want a like 10-page paper on each of them, and you got till next week. And oh, by the way, we're starting class, ready to go." And I thought to myself, what have I done? I'm uncomfortable. I didn't take Greek and Hebrew in seminary because I struggled with English. God got me through my college degree in business so I wouldn't have to worry about taking English and lit and all that silly stuff. So I don't feel happy, so I must need to get out. This can't be God's will because it's too hard. There's this myth in the Bible that people will tell you that God wants you happy, therefore if it's hard, it can't be God. But there are a lot of things that God has for us that might take some work, that might take some effort, that might take some sweat. I used to have a football coach that would tell us, hey, if you hadn't sweat, it's not worth it. If you hadn't worked the problem and figured out how to get better, it's not worth it. It's too easy. And this is not a theology. This is not in the Bible. Matter of fact, every year on Easter, and we'll do it again this year, we do what we call our Easter spiritual survey. And we do it on Easter because that's when most of y'all come to church. We get the biggest sample. And on those, we'll ask, hey, what are things you struggle with? What are things you'd like to see or hear a series on? And in the top five every year is, what is God's will for me? People are trying to decide, but you can't decide based on, this is uncomfortable, this is hard work. Some of the uncomfortableness we feel is God knocking on our hearts going, hey, you need to change that. You know that's not right. You know what you're doing is not right. You know this is not a good area for you. Change your direction. And it's in there every year that we struggle with. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4, hey, friends, when life gets difficult, don't jump to this conclusion. I highlighted it for you. We jump to this conclusion. It must not be God. This is too hard. This can't be God. Don't jump to the conclusion. Instead, be glad that you're in the midst of all that God's doing. That this is a spiritual, and here's the word that we hate, because we hate this word. It's a process. I don't care what level, y'all, I go back to the football analogy, whether you're in high school, college, or even I've read interviews of people going into pros, there's a process. The best college player in the world going into the pros has to go through a process. We don't like the process. A process does not mean that it's not God. It just means it's going to take a little work. And it might not make you happy, but it'll pay off in the end. And the next one, I'm not happy, therefore we look for somebody to blame. It's God's fault. I don't like this. This is God, this is your fault. I've had people in marriages tell me that. Call me weeks later. What did I do? I didn't do it. You did it. You made the decision to marry this person or not marry this person. And I'm not happy. God must have led me in the wrong path. No, God didn't lead you in the wrong path. We make these decisions by ourselves all the time. The thing that God said, I put it on the first list, that you know, God helps those who help themselves. Or everything, here's another good one for you. Everything happens for a reason. Yeah, it happens because sometimes we're imbeciles and we make stupid decisions, right? This is yes, this is no, right? Anybody else just been an imbecile? You make a dumb decision and you pay the price? Well, we blame God. Well, God, that was your fault. I made that decision, that was your fault. No, that's the happy theology says, well, if it's God's fault, I can do my own thing. It doesn't work. And then the last one, in our pride and arrogance, we say, I know what'll make me happy. Preacher, don't tell me what to do. Mom, dad, don't tell me what to do. Best friend, don't tell me what to do. I know what'll make me happy. And make me happy if I buy this. I know I can't afford it, but I'm going to buy it anyway. If I go and date this person, I'm going to date that person. Well, you just came out of a terrible relationship. You're going to jump into another. I know, but I know he'll make me happy. I know he or she, I just know. And there's been a lot of people drive right over the cliff, saying the whole time, I know it'll make me happy. The bridge is out. Stop, don't go that way. No, it'll make me happy. I want to go that way. And we ride right over the edge. I know what, don't tell me. I know what I need. I know what's best for me. Paul even writes to Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor, and he writes to him. This is, again, out of the Message paraphrase. It says, you're going to find that there will be times when people, they don't want to hear it. If we're ever in that time, has ever been in that time, we're in it now. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear solid teaching. They don't want to hear what the Bible says. But they want to fill up on spiritual junk food. Now, don't get me wrong. It has its place. Positive, encouraging. You can do it. We're going to overcome. People bag on Joel Osteen because he's always that way. But I admire it about him. I love listening to him because you come away feeling pumped up like I can take a bear with a switch. I'm just ready because he's so got you juiced up and positive. We need that, but we also need somebody to tell us to stop, quit, don't. Right? Don't do that. You know better. We need somebody to maybe even point a finger in our face and go, stop. You know better. Don't do that. But I know what makes me happy. Look what the verse goes on to say. It says, but they want catchy opinions that just tell them what they want to hear. I hope as your pastor, and if you're visiting today, just today, let me be your pastor. I hope and pray, I ask God all the time, God, let me tell them what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. Sometimes you need to hear more than just, it's okay. You need to hear, here's how we're going to make it okay. That people actually will. They'll turn their backs on the truth and chase these things that aren't true, this false, happy theology. It sounds good for someone to say. And if somebody said this to you as a pastor, I apologize. I've heard people say, you just need to come get saved. You need to come meet Jesus. Why? Because if you just meet Jesus, then your life will be all sunshine, rainbows, and Skittles and Snickers. Now, for those of you who've been saved and serving God for more than a week, is that true for anybody? That everything just suddenly becomes sunshine? No. Why? Because we live in a real world. But that real world doesn't change the fact that it's an eternal decision. We live in a world that you deal with issues. We deal with bad decisions. We deal with doing dumb stuff, and we deal with the consequences. But this life is not about just here on the earth. But the truth is, it probably really go further with this thought. It really puts God in a box. It puts God in this, because he wants so much more for us. You see, God doesn't want us happy. He wants us holy. But let me just say with the little star there, but that doesn't mean he doesn't want you happy. But his focus is not happy. His focus is holy. How do I know that? Because the Bible said that there's by one way by which man can be saved, and that's how? Through Jesus. And we'll see in a minute the Bible says that Jesus is the one that makes us to be in a place, to be holy, so we can serve and we can be in relationship with God. So there are several times, and I'm just going to give you two today. And this sounds harsh to say, but it's true. There are times when God's not worried about your happiness. It's the same thought as parents. Are there times as your kids, they're begging for something, they want to do something, but you have to tell them the most hated word in the world? What? No. My girls get mad because sometimes, Emma, who loves languages, and she can say hello, how are you, and her name in about 14 or 15 different languages. So if you ever want to know how to say hello, go find Emma and ask her the language, and she'll tell you. And it aggravates her because I'll tell her no in all 14 different languages. I'll look them up because I can't remember them. I'll say no, in Russian it's nyet. And she can't stand it. But sometimes as parents, you have to do that. We have to be able to go, no, that's not going to be good for you. Well, the Bible says if God is our Father, why wouldn't he want so much more for us? Why wouldn't he do that for us? Yet how many of us would let God tell you no? Don't do that. Don't buy that. Wait. Don't go on that. We're planning a trip now and about ready to kind of pull the string for, we got people that are going to Honduras in June. And I was telling a friend of mine, my heart is that I want to hear God. Before I go or you go or we send anybody, I want to make sure that God hadn't told me no, no matter what my ego says, that I can go, no, I don't know why, but God said, no, don't go. And you have to be able to have that kind of faith. But God doesn't want us happy. Primarily, the first one is when it's something that moves us away from Him. A couple weeks, we're going to talk about sin. Because there, and actually, we were having this discussion with some friends a few weeks ago. There's a, people like to say that, well, you know, sin is sin. And depending on how you take that, it could not be true. Because the truth of the matter is, I steal a candy bar from Pojo's. I rob a bank. Both are stealing. One's going to prison for a whole lot longer. The same is true with sin. There are different consequences. So sin is not sin. But from the same aspect, God doesn't see stealing from Pojo's or stealing from a bank as it's still wrong. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks, but it's sin. Happiness is not God's bottom line. Sin can be anything that pulls us away from God or distracts us or moves us, takes our eyes off Him. There are a lot of us that have dreams and passions and hobbies, and it can take you away from God. I know there are a lot of you who work random hours and shift work, and I know you work at the power plants and there's outages and all, but if you're not careful, even the thing that God gave you, your job, can be the thing that leads you away from Him because it becomes elevated. Sin is anything that you put before God. Husbands, you know your wife can be something that leads you away. Wives, you know your husband can lead you away. That's why the Bible standard is, I serve God, then my wife. Can't be the other way around. Why? Because it leads you away. It's decisions that take you away. The Bible says in 1 Peter that God's not going to change His bottom line. He will never sacrifice His standard. His standard is holy. Look what it says. It says, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. He says again in the book of Hebrews, for God's will was for us to be, notice this, made holy. You can't make yourself holy. This is what I call the Oprah Winfrey theory. However, and she actually said this. You can look it up back when she had a regular TV show. And she said, well, you know, we can all get to God in different ways. If you feel like if your passion is the earth and you can serve the earth and hug trees and save the whales, you can save animals and puppies and cats. And those things aren't bad, but they don't make you holy. They just make you doing something good. We feed kids. We're going to serve. Melanie made the announcement about our egg drop offering we'll have in a few weeks. And the reason we do that, like I think she said this, I was in and out, but we only do two special offerings a year, one for Project 216, which serves people, and one for the egg drop, which lets us serve and reach the community and reach out and do something. And so we can do all of that, but that doesn't make us holy. You could feed every hungry person in this county 3 meals a day, 7 days a week. But if you don't give them Jesus, or you don't have Jesus, then all you're doing is prolonging the inevitable. And when they die, they're going to be eternally separated from God. When you die, Oprah Winfrey's theory does not work. It's not in the Bible. God's not after your happiness. He's after your holiness. And the holiness only happens by one way, getting closer to God. That's why we talk about one step. If you're new here, you'll find it on all of our stuff. It's in the hallway. It's on the back of the sign. We made a hashtag. It says #OneStep. And the reason is that we're all one step. We all need to take one step from where we are, one step closer to where God wants us to be. We all have. I don't care if you've never been saved or you've been saved for 50 years. We are not. The Bible actually says, and I didn't get into this in your notes, but the Bible says that now we see God kind of through a film, a dirty window. But He says that as we get to the place of heaven, we're getting closer to God. And when we get to heaven, it'll be like somebody cleaned the window. Actually, the truth of the matter is somebody just took the window out so we can come on in. That we're becoming more. And it's one step at a time, one step forward. We move forward because we can always get better at living. And I will fully admit that not every one step you take is happy. Not every one step you take will make you happy. Because if you've ever had to make some tough decisions to maybe withdraw yourself from friends, I did. I made some decisions in college. I realized they weren't good for me, and I needed to cut them off. And I spent 6 months as a college sophomore, junior. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do anything because I just had to wait for God to bring me some godly Christian friends that wouldn't get me in trouble. And it was a hard decision. Friends that now I've later reconnected with online and on Facebook that I communicate with, but back then I had to make a tough decision. And it didn't make me happy because my emotions and your emotions, they'll throw a fit. Even when we've heard me talk about fasting, I am terrible. If you want to learn about fasting, I'm going to send you to somebody else because I am terrible at it. Because I can eat a 5-course meal right now, and then somebody come up and say, hey, I want you to pray. I want to fast for the next couple days with me. And immediately I'm hungry. Am I literally hungry? No, but my mind and my emotions is telling me if you don't eat now, you're going to die. We're only fasting for 24 hours. I know, but if I don't eat something now, I'm going to die. Anybody ever dealt with trying to kick an addiction? Just cigarettes. You take that one little cigarette out and take last puff and put it down. That's it. No more. Oh God. I'm getting dizzy. Oh God. Is Pojo's open? Who's got a cigarette? And I've watched people. You go through this, your mind and your body's having a physical reaction, but your mind's getting the best of you, right? I've watched people like trying to, roll this paper up and we'll put something in there. It's because it's our body throwing a fit. And anything that you put in front of God makes it rough. The second thing, God doesn't want you happy when it's driven by circumstances. Why? Because happiness comes and goes as your circumstances change. Let me give you a good example. I don't mind. I don't do it a lot. But a lot of times when Melanie and I will go to my in-laws in Florida, they will watch the girls, and they have an outlet like center, and we'll go up to Kohl's. Anybody remember Kohl's? Melanie loves Kohl's. I actually like Kohl's too. Good clothes. I'm $5 rack. I hit the $5 rack. I'm happy. But that happiness doesn't last very long for me. And you can ask Melanie if we walk in the door. The ladies is to the left. The guys' little measly section is on the right. Ladies, y'all have the whole store. And like 15 clearance racks, and the guy's got one little rack with some, Quad X sweatpants on it that nobody can wear. And we walk in the door, and I say to her, I'll see you in 30 seconds. And I look at my watch. She goes that way. I go over. I go clearance, large, extra large, large. No, that's ugly. Nope. Cool. $5 shirt. Need it. Got it. And I walk all the way around the back of the store. This is just to give her more time. I'm in the front of the store, so I walk all the way around to the back, all the way around through the housewares. I'm that weird guy that walks by the ladies in the ladies' underwear section, look at me like, why are you back here? Just give my wife some time. Don't mind me. I walk through, and I come all the way back around to the front, and she's still on the first rack. And it's crammed full. And she looks at everyone, and she's thorough. And I appreciate it because she's only going to buy it if it's a good deal. Blesses me. But after that, my circumstances have changed. Come on, guys. This is your chance for an amen. You could be full of energy, happy, excited, and you see it, and it's just like, oh. And suddenly you're sleepy. And why? Ask me, am I true? Like, I'm finding something to lean on. Or she goes, I'm going to try this on. And I'm like, I hope there's chairs by the chain. So you go to the changing thing and you sit down and then there's ladies going by. Like, again, it's me, the creeper guy sitting by the... And then she comes out and hands me the clothes and I'm a guy sitting with girls' clothes sitting by the changing table. I'm sure somebody's walked by and they've watched me on the security camera. Like, this guy's asleep out here. We need to go check him. And then Melanie walks by and goes, oh, no, he's the husband. He's good. See, circumstances change. What started out is happy. I love traveling. I know some people... People will think I'm crazy for this, but I love traveling and I love flying on bumpy airplanes. The bumpier, the better. It's more fun. Any of my pilots can identify. It's more fun. It's boring just to go. Psh. It's more fun if you see the wings actually flapping like a bird. I've been on a few of those. where you can see the tip of the wing, and like, there it goes, up and down, and everybody's around you going, oh God, oh Jesus, oh God, oh Jesus, and I'm giddy. This is fun. But as soon as you land and you get in the airport and they say, oh, your next flight's just been canceled. It's going to be like 12, 14 hours before you go. If you go, and oh, by the way, we're not going to give you anything. You're going to have to spend the night on this cold floor. And here's some pretzels and a Coke. Good luck. Circumstances change. I'm not a happy camper anymore. Like, I didn't pay you like a year's wage for this flight to sit with my knees in my chest. And I'm only 5'10", so you guys that are taller than me, I'm sorry. It's really, but I didn't pay for that. But happiness goes away quick. And God does not want you just happy. Why? Because it goes away. It moves out away from us. We try to grab onto it. You know, at the beginning of the year, if you missed the first series we did this year called It's Time, go back and listen. One of the first ones I did was called It's Time, and It's Time to Choose Joy. Because joy is not an emotion. Joy is not happiness. Joy is a choice. Joy is an internal choice. This is terrible. Are we back online? Okay, I'll say it anyway. I was going to say something, but sorry. Y'all could see what's going through this head. I have friends that are into CrossFit. As you can tell, I'm not. And it's like the more miserable they do in a workout, the better the workout is. And I even have some friends in the fire service that do this. And they use this term, and my mom and dad are here today, so just plug your ears for a minute. And they use this term called embrace the suck. Like, the hormone, this is terrible, I'm dying, I'm going to, you know, they got trash cans in their gym so they can go throw up and puke and then go back for it. I'm like, I'm not going to, that's just not me. You know, let's go take a walk around the block. I'm not going to do that. But they force themselves, and the amazing thing about it, they force themselves to choose, this is going to be good for me. And they do amazing, incredible athletic feats. You know, they're running ultra marathons. Like, again, I was talking with somebody the other day, the only reason I'm running is if somebody's after me. And then the other reason I might run is if you say you got something, you're going to give me something at the other end. And then I'm probably not going to run that far. It's not worth it. But our circumstances change, and sometimes we have to choose joy. You have to choose to be happy. I have to choose sitting in the airport to not make a fool of myself, not be ugly with the poor lady behind the counter who has nothing to do with it. And then have somebody come up beside you and sit on the airplane and go, oh, so what do you do? Yeah, I saw you out there giving that lady grief and being ugly, but what do you do for a living? And I have to think, oh, I've lied to her because I can't tell my pastor now. She just saw me make a fool of myself. I'm a motivational speaker. That's what I do. Oh, okay, how do you do that? Well, I talk to people. Where do you talk to people? In a room. And I'm trying to avoid giving it away. Because when your circumstances change, you just have to choose joy. If your circumstance of life brought happiness, then if that was really true, then there are a lot of people that we see on the news every day that have millions of dollars, houses that just never quit, and they're the most miserable bunch of people you'll ever see. I saw the other day where Jeff Bezos is the guy who owns Amazon. He bought a house, and they don't really know, nobody's really saying how much it cost, but it was like $25 or $60 million. And they said that $60 million was 0.1% of his net worth. That's like us getting something from the dollar store and being okay with it. And he bought a house like that. But there are people just like him all over this planet that are miserable because their circumstances guide and ebb and flow and bring them happiness. And it just doesn't work that way. Look what the Bible said. This is Paul. Paul figured out. He even talked about this. Paul said, I know how to live on nothing. I know how to live with everything. And I've learned this situation, how to live with full, empty, plenty, or little. Why? Because he chose joy. There are times when you're hungry. You just got to choose joy. And God is not after us just being happy. He's after us discovering this little thing called joy, that we choose it. See, no happiness, there's no happiness in a qualifier for that verse. It doesn't say, well, if you're happy, then be okay with a little. If you're happy, be okay with a lot. There's no qualifier there. Because here's the truth, and we're going to close with this. The Bible says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But if we don't like to read the whole thing, we just read that part. The reason he's saying that, Paul writes this to the church in Philippi, is because he was embracing the suck. You ever read about Paul? Paul was beaten many times, left for dead, stoned, put in jail. Most of the stuff he wrote in the New Testament, he was in prison, in jail. He had to choose. I'm going to choose joy. I'm going to choose to believe what God told me he would do. And the reason he had to get to that place is because God wants more than happy. He wants us blessed. Now, I didn't get into blessed. We could have a whole six-week sermon series on blessed. I look at it this way. If God wants me blessed, then I want it. If he wants me blessed, then I not only want it, I need it. Because the truth of the matter is, if I can't get myself into heaven, if I can't make myself holy, and I know this is going to hurt some feelings, but you can't bless yourself. You can keep for yourself, you can hoard for yourself, you can work for yourself, but you can't bless yourself. You can only bless somebody else. Anything else in its basic core is selfish. And the way we find ourselves being blessed is by, and not worrying about happy, is by serving. It's by serving the one who served us. God doesn't want you happy. He wants us blessed. Well, Clint, isn't that the same thing? No. And I know I don't get into the Greek and Hebrew again. I had a lot of trouble with English, so I married a woman who has a degree in Greek. So if y'all need to. But the Greek word for blessed is this word called makarios. It means supremely blessed, and it actually says more than happy. Here's where I think we lose focus. The base of that word is man, M-A-N. And that man word in the Greek literally means a long-term duration, not fleeting. I don't know about you, but I don't want fleeting. I don't want happiness to go, and once it goes, realize, oh, it's gone. I'm done now because it's over. And the reason God said this, I think, is because, one, let me say this, blessed doesn't mean you're never going to go through something bad. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're going to come out on the other side. We're going to all go through junk. We're all going to have bad times. Blessed means that we have, or we have the availability to us, everything that God wants. We're taking our one step from where we are, one step closer to where God wants us to be. Blessed is this. And I was going to put it on the screen for you, but I didn't, so you just got to write this one down. This is a tweetable. Blessed is knowing we have certain of our eternity, which therefore blessed is lowering my expectations of earth and holding on to my high expectations of heaven. If your happiness is going to ride on the up and downs of the earth, you are going to be miserable. The Bible says of life here that it's but a vapor compared to eternity. Yet almost everybody in the room, if we're honest, we live for today. Matter of fact, let's just do a little honesty test. How many of you in the last 30 seconds have thought, I'm hungry? Oh, come on. I'm thinking and I'm up here. Right, I'm hungry. Like, mama put a roast on, we're supposed to be there, 11:30. Preacher, you got to hurry because I'm hungry. Yeah, blessed. Yeah, sure, blessed. I'm hungry. That's just the way we are. And you're going to go through some times when blessed is having to make a decision to choose joy and to choose looking beyond this earth and looking to heaven. And I'm not going to read this. I put it on your notes, and it's Matthew 5 through 5, 3 through 12. But if you will, skip to verse 11 for me, the next to last verse. It says, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say lots of nasty things about you. In other words, everybody's not going to agree with this, with your decisions, because they're going to make their decisions based on what makes them happy or what they think should make you happy. And you say, no, what makes me happy is for me just to do what God told me to do. I tell my girls all the time, you can do lots of great things. Mabel, my 11-year-old, and she'll fuss at me today because she fusses every time I mention her name. She's brilliant. We laugh. I told my parents yesterday, she's a mini Melanie. She read more books by fourth grade than I read through my master's degree in college. She's just smart. But I've told her, I said, baby, all the stuff you do, I'll support you and I'll cheer you on, whether it's in school or on the athletic field or whatever it is, on the dance floor, whatever you're doing. But know the one thing that makes mom and daddy happy is what? It's when you're obedient. See, God, I'm not after her. I want her to be happy. And we buy her things for Christmas and bless her because it makes her happy. But that's not what we're after. I want her to be obedient because if she's obedient to me, then the Bible says that blessing, you know that? You want to be blessed? Honor your father and mother. And I don't want it for me. I want it for her. And a lot of us need to realize that all God asks is we just be obedient. It goes on in verse 12. And it says not only that, but be happy about it and be very glad. Because what awaits us in heaven? Blessing. Blessing awaits us in heaven. Eternity. Not earth. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes? If that's you this morning, if that thumping in your heart, if you're visiting with us, we always offer every week the chance for somebody to just start a relationship with God. We don't call you up front. I'm not going to embarrass you. There will be a time for that in your walk. But if you would say, Clint, I'm following this happy path and happy theology, and it just doesn't work. I need to do something different. If you're online watching, shoot us some messages if this is you. We just want to pray with you. I'm not going to make you run up front and embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. If you say, Clint, I need to meet Jesus, or I need to return, and I need to get my life right because I want to be blessed. I don't want happiness in and out of my life. I want to be able to choose joy, not follow this up and down flow of what I think makes me happy. If that's you this morning, just wave at me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to pray with you. There's a couple hands. Anybody else? All right. Well, I want to all pray. Everybody pray this with those who raise your hands. Say, Lord Jesus, today I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Today, Father, forgive me for not always getting it right. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son for me. I confess you now as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now, look at me. I'm not asking anybody to be perfect. Heaven above knows that I'm not. But I am asking us all to begin to take those one steps. What can I do? What step can I take? What can I stop doing? What can I start doing? And don't make those decisions based on, does it make me happy? Make those decisions based on, does it make me obedient? And I promise you, you'll see life change. You'll see growth. You'll see joy begin to show up because you're being obedient. Amen?